أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
After reciting the Tashahud, Ta'awud and Surah Al-Fatiha, Hazrat Khalifatul Masih V, may Allah be his help, has stated, "The battle of the ditch is being discussed nowadays. It was mentioned that the disbelievers had fled from the battlefield due to the storm that took place overnight. With regards to the event, after the disbelievers had fled from the battlefield, the following is recorded in history. When Allah the Almighty caused the armies to retreat from the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, he said, Al-ana naghzuhum wa la yaghzunana. That is, in the future, we will set out against the Quraysh and they will not have the courage to set out against us. And this truly transpired after this. The Quraysh did not have the courage to attack the Muslims. So much so that Makkah was conquered at the hands of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Nevertheless, in the morning, there was no opponent on the other side of the ditch. Everyone had fled. Upon this, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, permitted the Muslims to return home. And everyone did so gladly. It is said that the siege of the ditch lasted 15 days, and according to one narration, it lasted for 20 days. It is also said that it lasted for approximately 1 month. 9 individuals were martyred during the Battle of the Ditch. Sa'ad bin Mu'adh is one of them. He was wounded during this battle and passed away a few days thereafter. The others are Anas bin Aus, Abdullah bin Sahal, Tufail bin Nu'man, Tha'laba bin Ghanama bin Adi, Ka'b bin Zayd, Qais bin Zayd bin Amir, Abdullah bin Abi Khalid, and Abu Sinan bin Saifi bin Sakhr. 2 other companions were martyred prior to this, who have already been mentioned, who set out to get news of the army of Abu Sufyan and were martyred there. As such, a total of 11 individuals were martyred. These 2 were Sulayt and Sufyan bin Auf Aslami. 3 idolaters were killed. Amr bin Abdiwud, Nawfal bin Abdullah bin Mughira, and Uthman bin Munabbih. On the day of the Battle of the Ditch, i.e. on the day the disbelievers launched a ferocious attack, and the Muslims shot a flurry of arrows in response to their onslaught of arrows, he was also struck by an arrow and died from the wound after returning to Mecca. The outcome of the Battle of the Ditch was miraculous, as we have seen throughout history. In relation to this, Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmad Sahib, may Allah be pleased with him, has written, "Hence, after a siege of more or less 20 days, the army of the disbelievers left Medina without success and victory, and the Banu Qurayza, who had also come out to aid them, retired to their fortress. In this war, the Muslims did not suffer a great loss of lives. Only 5 or 6 men were martyred. Sa'd bin Mu'adh, may Allah be pleased with him, who was the head chieftain of the Aus tribe, sustained such a heavy wound that in the end, he could not recover. This was a loss for the Muslims which could not be compensated. Only three men from the army of the disbelievers were killed, however. In this battle, the Quraysh received such a blow that afterwards they could never muster the courage to round up a large group and set out like this again or attack Medina. The prophecy of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, was fulfilled to the letter. After the army of the disbelievers had set off, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, also instructed the companions to return, and the Muslims left the field of battle to enter Medina. The battle of the ditch or confederates, which came to an unexpected and sudden end, was a very dangerous war. Until that time, the Muslims had never been faced with a crisis of such magnitude, nor were they ever subjected to such tribulation thereafter in the life of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. This was a violent quake which shook the edifice of Islam to its very foundation. Its horrific scenes dazzled the eyes of the Muslims, and their hearts began to reach their throats, and the weaker ones began to think that this was the end. The jolts of this terrible quake shook them for about a month, more or less. And thousands upon thousands of bloodthirsty beasts besieged their homes, turning their lives bitter. This bitter affliction was doubled by the treachery of the Banu Qurayza. And at the heart of this entire conspiracy were those ungrateful Jews whom the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, but benevolently permitted to leave Medina in peace and security. It was due to the incitement of these very Jewish chieftains that all the renowned tribes of the Arabian desert became intoxicated in their animosity for Islam and converged upon Medina to expunge the Muslims. It is absolutely certain that on this occasion, if these wild beasts had gained the opportunity to enter the city, not a single Muslim would have survived, and the honor of a single chaste Muslim lady would not have been safe from the filthy attacks of these people. However, it was merely due to the grace of Allah, the Exalted, and the power of His unseen hand that this swarm of locusts was forced back without success and victory, and the Muslims, who were full of emotions and thankfulness and gratitude, returned to their homes with a breath of peace and satisfaction. The threat posed by the Banu Qurayza still existed just as before. These people had secured themselves in their strongholds with peace and security. After having displayed their treachery in a most dangerous manner, they now presumed that no one could do them any harm. However, in any case, it was incumbent that their mischief be put to an end. Their presence in Medina was no less than a snake in the grass for the Muslims, or an enemy in hiding. The experience of the Banu Nadir taught that whether this snake was permitted out of its home or left inside, it always proved to be equally lethal. Nevertheless, action was taken against the Banu Qurayza in what is known as the Battle of Banu Qurayza, which took place in Dhul-Qa'da in the 5th year after Hijrah, corresponding to March and April 627 CE. The Holy Quran also mentions this event. Allah the Almighty states, وَأَنزَلَ الَّذِينَ ظَاهَرُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ مِنْ صِيَاصِيهِمْ وَقَذَفَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الرُّعْبَ فَرِيقًا تَقْتُلُونَ وَتَأْسِرُونَ فَرِيقًا وَأَوْرَثَكُمْ أَرْضَهُمْ وَدِيَارَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ وَأَرْضًا لَمْ تَطَؤُوهَا وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرًا. And he brought those of the people of the book who aided them down from their fortresses and cast terror into their hearts. Some you slew and some you took captive. And he made you inherit their land and their houses and their wealth and a land on which you had never set foot. And Allah has power over all things. Briefly put, the Banu Qurayza was a Jewish tribe and descendants of Qurayza who settled near Medina in a strong fortress. Thus, they became known as Banu Qurayza. Qurayza and Nadir were both brothers from the progeny of Prophet Aaron. The descendants of the former became known as Banu Qurayza and the descendants of the latter as Banu Nadir. As mentioned in previous sermons and in the details of the Battle of the Trench, the Banu Qurayza betrayed the Muslims during the battle by assisting the Quraysh. They broke the covenant that they had made with the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. After the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, returned from the Battle of the Trench, he and his companions laid down their arms, and the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, entered Hazrat Aisha's home. He called for water to wash his head. According to one narration, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, bathed, applied perfume, and offered the Dhuhr prayer. Hazrat Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, relates, while they were inside the house, someone greeted us with peace. Upon his call, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, swiftly went to meet him, and I observed through the doorway that it was Dihya Kalbi, who was dusting off his face and wore a turban. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, leaned against his mount as they conversed. The man said, O Messenger of Allah, you have laid down your weapons, but by God we have not. According to another narration, his words were, ever since we faced the enemy, the angels have not put down their arms. We are returning after having pursued our enemies. Some of them said that the angels had not yet laid down their arms. Until we reached Hamra al-Asad, and Allah the Almighty defeated them. Now come this way. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, inquired where. He pointed toward the Banu Qurayza. As Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, further relates, I came back inside, and when the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, also returned, I asked him, who was the man whom you were speaking with? Did you see him? Asked the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. I replied in the affirmative. Upon which the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, asked, did he resemble anyone you know? I replied, he looked like Dihya Kalbi. However, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said, it was Gabriel. This clarifies the statement he made about the angels not having laid down their arms. It was Gabriel who was telling them to go to the Banu Qurayza. Thus, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, had an announcement made that everyone should advance towards the Banu Qurayza, and that the Asr prayers would be offered there. Upon hearing the announcement, the companions made their way immediately. Here we see the companions' standard of obedience and devotion. During their journey, the time for Asr prayer came upon them, and it was likely that the time for prayer would pass before they could offer it. In fear of missing the time for prayer, some companions offered the Asr prayer then. According to Fathul Bari, the commentary of Sahih al-Bukhari, some companions remarked that because the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah upon him, instructed to offer the Asr prayer upon reaching the Banu Qurayza, they would offer their prayers in accordance to that instruction, even if the time for prayers would pass. According to narrations, they arrived at their destination when the sun had already set, and they offered the Asr prayer upon their arrival. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah upon him, did not object to both groups of companions, neither those who offered the prayer for fear that the time for prayer would elapse, nor those who offered the prayer at the Banu Qurayza after the sun had set. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, called upon Hazrat Ali, may Allah be pleased with him, and conferred upon him the army's black flag, known as Uqab. These accounts have been mentioned in Sahih al-Bukhari and other historical literature. There are some more details. Firstly, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, sent Hazrat Ali, may Allah be pleased with him, with some troops as the front runners of the army. And then he followed behind them himself. Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmad Sahib, may Allah be pleased with him, writes about these accounts as follows. When the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, became free from the Ghazwa of the Ditch and returned to the city, he had barely put off his arms and bathed when he was informed by way of divine indication that until a verdict had been settled with respect to the treachery and rebellion of the Banu Qurayza, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, should not have laid in his arms. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, was then informed that he should march towards the Banu Qurayza at once. Upon this, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, made a general announcement to the companions, directing that everyone should set out towards the fortress of the Banu Qurayza and that the Asr Salat would be prayed there. Furthermore, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, dispatched Hazrat Ali, may Allah be pleased with him, with a detachment of the companions ahead of the army. This has also been mentioned earlier in reference to Hazrat Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her. In any case, it was a vision, as Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmad Sahib, may Allah be pleased with him, also wrote, and it may be that Hazrat Aisha also witnessed this event in a vision, and this does occur. The mention of the expedition towards Banu Qurayza is as follows. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, appointed Hazrat ibn Ummi Maktoum, may Allah be pleased with him, as the leader of Medina and set out towards the Banu Qurayza on a Wednesday, while 7 days remained in the month of Dhu al-Qa'dah. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, wore weapons and armor, donned a helmet, and took a spear in his hand. He hung a shield around his neck and mounted his horse, who was named Luhayf. The Muslims had 36 horses, and the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, set out alongside his companions. Ibn Sa'd states that 3,000 people were with him. As previously mentioned, Hazrat Ali, may Allah be pleased with him, had already reached the Banu Qurayza along with a group of Muhajirin and Ansar. Hazrat Abu Qatada, may Allah be pleased with him, states, "We arrived at Banu Qurayza, and Hazrat Ali planted the flag in front of the fortress. When they saw us, they were convinced that a battle would take place. Then they locked themselves inside their fortresses and began cursing at the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and his noble wives." Hazrat Abu Qatada, may Allah be pleased with him, narrates, "We remained silent and did not respond to their curses, saying that now only the sword will decide between you and us." The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, also reached the Banu Qurayza and settled at a place called Bi'r Unna, near the mountain adjacent to the Banu Qurayza. It is also called Bi'r Anna, and it is one of the wells of Banu Qurayza. The detailed account regarding this in the life and character of the Seal of Prophets by Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmad Sahib, may Allah be pleased with him, is as follows. When Hazrat Ali, may Allah be pleased with him, reached there, instead of expressing remorse and seeking forgiveness and mercy for the treachery and rebellion, the Banu Qurayza, which included Huyay bin Akhtab, head chieftain of the Banu Nadir, who was the principal originator of this rebellion and had joined them according to his promise, openly abused the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Furthermore, in a very shameless and wicked manner, they used very vile tongue against the Azwaj Mutahharat, that is, the blessed wives of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, as well. Shortly after Hazrat Ali and his contingent had set off, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, put on his arms and left Medina as well. At the time, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, was mounted on horseback, accompanied by a large group of companions. When the Holy Prophet neared the fortresses of the Banu Qurayza, he found Hazrat Ali, may Allah be pleased with him, waiting to receive him. Hazrat Ali had returned back to some distance from the fortresses and submitted to the Holy Prophet, "O Messenger of Allah, I believe there is no need for you to proceed any further in person. God willing, we shall be sufficient." The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah upon him, understood and said, "Have the Banu Qurayza used ill tongue against me?" He saw that Hazrat Ali was stopping him and assumed that they were using foul language. "Yes, O Messenger of Allah," responded Hazrat Ali, may Allah be pleased with him. The Holy Prophet said, "Never mind. قَدْ أُوذِيَ مُوسَى بِأَكْثَرِ مِنْ هَذَا." That is, Moses was subjected to even greater pains on account of these people. Hence, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, marched forward and upon reaching a well of the Banu Qurayza, set up camp. According to one narration, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said to Hazrat Ali that there is nothing to worry about. They do not have the courage to insult me in my presence. Then he proceeded forward with great calmness and dignity. There is also a mention of the food of the Muslims during this battle. All the companions gathered by the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, by the time of Isha, that is the night prayer, and Hazrat Sa'd bin Ubadah, may Allah be pleased with him, sent a camel loaded with dates for the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and the Muslims. On that day, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said, "How great a food are dates!" Further details about the siege of the Banu Qurayza by the Muslims are as follows. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, advanced at the time of Suhoor, that is the pre-dawn meal, and placed the archery contingent at the vanguard. They surrounded the fortresses of the Jews, raining arrows upon them and hurling stones, and the Jews also shot arrows from their fortresses until the evening. Then they stayed the night near the fortresses, and the Muslims kept attacking the Jews in turns. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, kept ordering the Muslims to continue shooting arrows to the extent that the Jews became certain that they would be destroyed and ceased shooting arrows at the Muslims, saying, "Spare us and let us negotiate." The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, agreed. They sent Nabash bin Qais to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. He asked the Holy Prophet to allow them to leave, just as the Banu Nadir were allowed to leave, and that he, i.e. the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, could take their wealth and weapons and spare their lives. They would leave the city with their women and children. This was the offer from the Jews. They said, "We will take only what our one camel can carry." But the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, refused. Then Nabash said, "We do not need the wealth that our camels can carry." The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, still refused and said that they must surrender to his judgment. But he refused to surrender to the ruling of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and returned to his people. After this, the leaders of the Banu Qurayza consulted amongst themselves. When Nabash came to his people and informed them of these circumstances, and the siege became protracted, the leader of the Banu Qurayza, Ka'b bin Asad, addressed the people of his nation and said, "By Allah, you are facing a trial that you behold with your very own eyes. I shall present three options to you. Accept whichever one of them you prefer." They asked, "What are they?" Ka'b bin Asad said that we should accept the obedience of Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and believe that he is truthful. For I swear by Allah, you know full well that he has been sent as a prophet. And this is the same person whom you see mentioned in your scriptures. And due to our accepting him, your lives, your wealth, and your women will be protected. By God, you know that Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah upon him, is a prophet. And the only thing that has prevented us from joining him is that he is from the Arabs and not from the Bani Israel. Thus, wherever he is, Allah himself has made him a prophet. Meaning, whatever he is, God has made him as such. This is abundantly clear. He said, "I do not even wish to break the treaty, but this difficulty and trial has come about due to Huyay bin Akhtab." He was sitting nearby. Then Ka'b said, "Do you remember what Ibn Jawas, an ancient Jewish scholar, said to you when he came to you? He said, I have left the land of wine, vinegar, and dates. There is Jerusalem. And have come to the land of water, dates, and barley. People asked why this was. Ka'b bin Asad said that the elder said, a prophet will manifest in this land. And if I am alive at that time, I will follow him and I will help him. And if he comes after me, then beware not to let anyone deceive you about him. Meaning they should not reject him, but should accept him, follow him, help him, and become his friends. I have believed in both scriptures, the one that came before and the one that came after, meaning he also believed in the book revealed to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Convey my greetings to him and tell him that I attest to his truth. Then Ka'b said, come, let us follow him, Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and attest to his truthfulness. Upon hearing this, the people of the Banu Qurayza said, we will never abandon the decree of the Torah, the book of Moses, and we will never trade it for any other scripture. Ka'b said, if you do not accept what I say, then the second option is that we should kill our children and wives, wield our swords, and attack Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and his companions. There would be nothing holding us back until either we win or Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, is victorious. If we are killed, then only we will die. We will not have any progeny to worry about. If we are victorious, then I swear by my life, we can have other progeny and wives. The people said, shall we kill the innocent? What joy will there be in life without them? Then Ka'b said, if you do not accept this either, then tonight is Saturday, the Sabbath, and it is likely that Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah upon him, and his companions are not expecting anything from us tonight. So attack them. Perhaps we can delude Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah upon him, and his companions. They said, how can we ruin our Sabbath by doing something which none before us has done, except one who you know? And it is not lost upon you how he was abased. Thus, all three of Ka'b's proposals were rejected. After Ka'b, another Jewish man, Amr bin Sauda, said, O Jewish people, you made a pact with Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and you broke the agreement which had been made between you. I was not part of this treaty, nor am I with you in your deception. If you refuse to accept his religion, then at least remain steadfast upon Judaism. If you are going to oppose him, then at least remain firm upon the Jewish teachings and give them the jizya. By God, I do not know if he will accept this or not. They said, we will not show any respect to the Arabs just to save our lives. This will never happen. We will not offer this. We would prefer to die. Amr said, I disassociate myself from you. That same night, he left the fortresses. He passed by the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him's guards, who were under the leadership of Hazrat Muhammad bin Maslamah, may Allah be pleased with him. He asked, who goes there? He replied, Amr bin Sauda. Hazrat Muhammad bin Maslamah said, you may pass, and said, Allahumma la tahrimni iqalata atharatil kirami. O Allah, do not deprive me from the virtue of covering the faults of the noble. He then let him pass, and he went to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him's mosque, where he remained until the morning, at which time he departed. Where exactly he went could not be determined. When this was mentioned to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, he said, he is someone whom Allah saved on account of his loyalty. Similarly, after being influenced by Ka'b's words, three more individuals left the fortress that night and joined Islam, saving their lives, families, and wealth. There is an incident mentioned of Hazrat Abu Lubaba, may Allah be pleased with him. It is recorded that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, increased the pressure upon the fortresses. When the siege became too suffocating, they sent a message to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, on the night of the Sabbath, requesting Hazrat Abu Lubaba bin Abd al-Mundhir to be sent to them in order to consult with him about their situation. He was a respected member of the Aus, an ally tribe of the Banu Qurayza. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, sent him. When they saw Hazrat Abu Lubaba, the men started going towards him, and the women and children started crying before him. Hazrat Abu Lubaba's heart softened for them, and this had been their plan. Ka'ab bin Asad said, "O Abu Lubaba, we have selected you alone. Certainly Muhammad is not willing to accept anything except his own decision. Do you think we should accept his decision?" Hazrat Abu Lubaba, may Allah be pleased with him, replied, "Yes," and he gestured with his hand across his neck, making a killing motion. He motioned across his neck like this. Hazrat Abu Lubaba, may Allah be pleased with him, says, "By Allah, I was still standing in the same place when I felt that I had betrayed Allah and His Messenger. I was ashamed for making this gesture and recited, 'Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un,' surely to Allah we belong and to Him shall we return. As I left the fortress, my beard was wet with tears. People had been waiting for me to return, but I took another path from behind the fortress and went to the mosque. I avoided going to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. I tied myself to a pillar as a punishment. I said that I would not move from there until either I died or Allah accepted my repentance for what I did. I vowed to Allah the Almighty that I would never set foot on the land of the Banu Qurayza, nor would I look at that dwelling where I betrayed Allah and His Messenger, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. When the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, heard that I had left and about what I had done, he said, 'Leave him be until Allah the Almighty makes a decision about him. Had he come to me, I would have prayed for his forgiveness. Since he did not come to me and he left, leave him alone.'" Hazrat Abu Lubaba, may Allah be pleased with him, says, "I was in great anguish. For many nights I did not eat or drink anything. I kept saying that I would remain in that state until either I died or Allah accepted my repentance. I would recall the dream I had seen when we were laying siege to the Banu Qurayza. I saw that I was in a foul-smelling dark dirt and I was unable to come out of it. I was about to die due to the foul odor. Then I saw a stream and I saw that I was bathing in it until I was clean, and then I smelled a pleasant fragrance. I asked Hazrat Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him, about the interpretation of this dream, and he said, 'You will find yourself facing a situation which will cause you grief, but then you will be saved from it. Hence, as I was tied up, I would remember the words of Hazrat Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him, and hope that Allah would reveal something about the acceptance of my repentance.' He says, 'I remained in that state until I was so weak that I could no longer hear anything.' He was tied to a pillar. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, would see me. Ibn Hisham says that he remained tied up for 6 nights. Eventually, Allah the Almighty revealed the following verse of Hazrat Abu Lubaba, may Allah be pleased with him's repentance. وَآخَرُونَ اَعْتَرَفُوا بِذُنُوبِهِمْ خَلَتُوا عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَآخَرَ سَيِّئًا عَسَى اللَّهُ أَنْ يَتُوبَ عَلَيْهِمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. And there are others who have acknowledged their faults. They mixed a good work with another that was evil. It may be that Allah will turn to them with compassion. Surely Allah is most forgiving, merciful.'" In relation to the repentance of Hazrat Abu Lubaba, may Allah be pleased with him, a verse of the Quran was revealed to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, during Sehri, the time of the meal before dawn. Whilst he was at Umm Salama's house, Hazrat Umm Salama, may Allah be pleased with her, relates, "I saw the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, smiling at the time of Sehri. I asked, 'O Messenger of Allah, may Allah always keep you smiling. What is it that makes you smile?' He replied, 'There is glad tiding for Abu Lubaba.' I then asked, 'O Messenger of Allah, Shall I convey the glad tiding to him? He answered, why not? Convey the glad tiding to him. She then stood at the doors to her room and proclaimed, O Abu Lubaba, rejoice, for Allah Almighty has accepted your repentance. The people then went to untie him. Hazrat Abu Lubaba, may Allah be pleased with him, said, no, only the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, shall untie me. He said, I am tied up, and if anyone is to untie me, it shall be the Holy Prophet. Then, when the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, went for the Fajr prayer, he untied him with his blessed hands. Hazrat Abu Lubaba said, O Messenger of Allah, my repentance shall be that I shall leave all those homes of my people in which I committed a sin, and I shall give all of my wealth in alms in the way of Allah and His Messenger. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, stated, O Abu Lubaba, one third is sufficient for you. In any case, it is evident that the details of this incident regarding Hazrat Abu Lubaba, may Allah be pleased with him, are not found in the Sihah Sitta. It is possible that Hazrat Abu Lubaba's indication of killing the people was just a result of his own thinking, but nonetheless, it is mentioned in history. Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmad Sahib, may Allah be pleased with him, has also mentioned the details of this incident. He writes, finally, when the Banu Qurayza became weary of the siege, they devised a plan. The idea was to invite a Muslim to their fortresses who held relations with them and was easily swayed due to his simplicity, so that they could attempt to ascertain what the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, had in mind concerning them. Hence, they sent an emissary to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, requesting that Abu Lubaba bin Mundhir Ansari, may Allah be pleased with him, be dispatched to their stronghold so that they could consult him. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, permitted Abu Lubaba, and he went to their fortress. The chieftains of the Banu Qurayza had planned that as soon as Abu Lubaba entered the fortress, in an attempt to fully impress the pains of their affliction and hardship upon his heart, all the Jewish women and children would surround him and begin weeping and wailing. As such, Abu Lubaba fell into this trap. And as soon as he entered their fortress, he began to feel pity for their so-called affliction. When the Banu Qurayza inquired, O Abu Lubaba, our state is before you. Shall we step out of our fortresses, leaving our fate to be decided by Muhammad? Abu Lubaba spontaneously responded in the affirmative, but at the same time passed his hand across his throat, indicating that they would be sentenced to death. This was absolutely false, and the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, had not even slightly insinuated any such intention. However, being influenced by the demonstration of misery, the thoughts of Abu Lubaba began to flow so emotionally in the direction of pain and suffering that his ideas did not fall short of death. This false sympathy of Abu Lubaba, due to which he felt remorse himself afterwards as well, and in this regret, tied himself to a pillar in the mosque until the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, forgave him and untied him with his own hand. It became the source of the Banu Qurayza's ruin. They stubbornly insisted that they would not leave their fortresses and hand themselves over to be judged by the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. In any case, details of this will inshallah continue. The Ahmadis in Pakistan should pray for themselves as well. These days, attempts are being made to strain their circumstances in the land as much as possible. They should strive more than ever to attain the pleasure of Allah the Almighty, because as I mentioned, their conditions continue to worsen. May Allah the Almighty bestow His blessings and mercy. Similarly, those Ahmadis of Pakistani origin living around the world should especially pray for their Pakistani brothers. May Allah the Almighty grant them salvation from these difficulties. Similarly, pray for the Ahmadis of Bangladesh as well. They should also pray for themselves. May Allah the Almighty protect them against every evil. The Ahmadis there are also facing great difficulties. Pray for the Ahmadis in Algeria. May Allah the Almighty protect them against every evil. They are also facing sanctions and being imprisoned. May Allah the Almighty keep them firm in their faith. The Ahmadis in Sudan are also facing difficult circumstances due to the war there. Pray for them as well. Everywhere, Those who profess the Islamic creed are facing difficulties at the hands of others who also profess the Islamic creed. This is why those who are opposed to Islam are striving so boldly to harm Muslims. You must pray a great deal. Allah the Almighty can hold back the Israeli government, the American government, and other major powers. He possesses all power. However, for this to happen, Muslims will have to act in a way that achieves the pleasure of Allah the Almighty, and they will have to set examples of living together as brothers. Mutual disputes will have to end, yet we do not see this happening anywhere. It is only when this happens that God's promises of help will be fulfilled. They cannot be fulfilled without this. Muslims will have to become believers. May Allah the Almighty enable us and all Muslims to do so.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله إبعاد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر